Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 662, Halloween Kills. God, I wish it would.
Nope. We're going to keep going, baby.
It's the worst thing to happen to Halloween since razor blades and apples.
Since Hocus Pocus?
This movie, Halloween sucks is what they should have called
this movie. This is great.
That's what I thought. I almost tweeted that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would have been an apt
so
title.
Bad. Nope. So,
you're both wrong.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us via the magic of ZoomTube, it's Jason from Binge Movies. Hey, how's it going?
I'm just glad that you guys finally have your own streaming service.
Well, we are pretty big, so.
Yeah. Can you do it for me, Joe? Can you do it live and in person?
No.
You son of a bitch.
So before we jump into this turd of a movie, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and rate, review, and subscribe. I don't look anymore, but Joe tells me we have a new review.
We do. 5-star review from the Kryptonian Orphan, which could be only... Doesn't make any sense because more people came from Krypton, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Third time's the charm. 5-star. I tried twice before to leave this review. I guess my coarse language, it wasn't even R-rated, excluded the posting.
We do not control that, yeah, just for the record.
I love this podcast. I was listening to another podcast in which Kevin was a guest hosting on. Ooh. And just had to check y'all out. I'm so glad that I did. You've quickly become my favorite. I may not always agree with your reviews, but it's always fun and informative and respectful. Especially when the disagreements are among the hosts, which is going to happen today. I can tell you guys are friends, maybe, after today. And it's refreshing to have some comical banter. After all, they are only movies. And in these times, we need as many entertaining distractions as possible. Keep up the great work.
Awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
That's great that they heard me on another podcast and then came here, and this has become their favorite podcast.
Now they'll ever
not
let
the,
us
not the, one, not the one that you guest hosted on, which, as a matter of fact, was Binge Movies. That's what it was. No, I don't know.
I was going to say.
Wow, shots fired.
Wow. I didn't go there.
Here's the thing. How do you know it's not me?
True. I guess that's a fair statement. Yeah.
I was like, no one will ever let us guest on their shows again. So where was I at? Oh, shameless plugs. Also, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group. You can also become a League of Show Share members by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: Librarian Cynthia, David Rojas, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Magic Man, Chris Falls, Cinema Recall, Colby Mack, The Manish 89, Chris Williams,
ooh,
We have a Hulk, Mike, and Oscar, Spoiler Piece Theater, The Movie Journey Podcast, Invasion of the Remake, Ryan Terry from the Forced Crowd Podcast, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Geek to Me Radio, Nick James, Matt Naglia, Falling Under the Brad Hyen Rule, Kevin Brackett, The Binge Movies Podcast, Feel and Film, and Minorities Report. So
I didn't even realize I would be. That's true. Yeah, I mean,
that's those are the rules.
Be fair, yeah.
Those
I mean,
are the rules.
I did share it. I finally shared it. You know, I don't share these episodes often, but.
And then also, don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. Right now, Joe's been going through all the Halloween movies.
They have.
Don't suck.
Oh, no, they do. Trust me. Okay. There's a lot.
Well,
in
it's
that.
All relative. Yeah. So.
No, there's a lot in that in this franchise that sucks.
Yeah. In fairness, I've seen four of them.
Okay,
I think.
So that's fair. But yeah, I've got one with Josh Bell where we do the Rob Zombie stuff. I've got one with Matt F. Basler where we do the H2O timeline. Jason, actually, and I do the current timeline. We didn't do Halloween Kills, obviously. We did 78, 2018. And then Lindsay Washburn and I break down the original timeline. Plus, there's a bonus one in there. I got a chance to talk to Dustin McNeil, who is an author who wrote three books called Two Taking Shapes and then Slash of the Titans, which is about the tumultuous journey to get Freddy versus Jason made and all of the insanity that ensued before that. So those are all the Lindsay Washburn one isn't up yet, but everything else is up.
Everything will be up by the time this
is
posted.
There we go. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. There we go. So there's all sorts of bonus content for your $5.
Yeah.
So there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
So I'm going to get this out of the way right now. I am not objective. I will never be objective with these movies.
Well, all film review is subjective.
This one I will not be. Like
No, that's what I'm saying. Subject.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. I think most of the time we try to come at most of the things that we do with at least somewhat of a critical eye.
Yeah.
Right?
I would hope so, since we're reviewing
movies. I'm not going to with this.
Sometimes I try to be critical,
criticize. Stuff like, you know, they're with musicals, right? Like you have an affinity for musicals.
Sure.
So sometimes it's harder to be critical of something that
I review musicals all the time, and if they suck, I say they suck. Just like movies, I love movies, but I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't think that's the same comparison, because musicals, that's like saying movies.
I think what he's trying to say, let me translate this into people, is that because you have a love for a particular genre.
I wouldn't even say genre. This franchise in general.
The sometimes the bar's a little lower for you, because it's like you're just happy to be there.
That's exactly it.
And I think that, like, since you don't like musicals, it would have to be an amazing musical for you to get over the hump where Kevin and I both already like musicals, like
a neutral starter.
Already kind of there on the concept.
Is there something in that, like, that is in that realm that will let you lower the bar?
The Simpsons.
You're just happy to be
The Simpsons.
You know what?
That's fair.
You know what? Sometimes I mean, still there can be bad ones, but you know, when they're doing parodies or satires of musicals, sometimes I think maybe you give it like a little break, because the production quality doesn't have to be the highest. It's more about just the concept and how clever it is. You know, like they do, and these are actually good, but I mean, they do Evil Dead the musical and The Office the musical, and you know, they do like things like that.
So you're in for something like that.
I mean, you could have fun with something like that, I think, without being as critical, because they're doing a parody of something that already exists and all that. But there's obviously still varying degrees of, you could do it well, the songs could be better, but I'm just trying to think, that's probably the closest where it's like, okay, they're having, you know, they're having fun with this concept.
Sure.
Or Lord of the Rings in 10 minutes or whatever, you know, when they do that kind of stuff.
Man, I wish that would
And happen. I'm the same way with porn parody.
Yeah, right, right.
Just as long as they're in, you know, you only watch them for 5 minutes at a time.
Right.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well,
I don't like to brag.
I got it in and out. I got stuff to do.
It's me time.
This is Joe just trying to avoid Man of Steel incident. Is what he's
Which is also tough, right? Because I'm kind of the same way about Superman is I do like I yeah. those movies get put to a like a lower standard because I
oh, they are
I know there's, but there's been a lower there's been less good Superman movies than there have been Halloween movies.
Okay,
that's
so
true.
Halloween
that's
kills.
True.
Yes. So this movie it's an interesting take on Halloween 2, right? Like, because it's basically doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, they're back at a hospital. There's no boobs in a hot tub.
There are no boobs in a
hot tub. That's all. You can tell the age at which I watched Halloween 2 because all I remember is hospital.
Yep.
Boobs in a hot tub.
Hot tub boobs. Yes.
Hot tub boobs.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But they also pick up the concept of continuing the same night.
Yes.
Like, it's the same, pretty much, it's the same concept.
And apparently time moves differently in Haddonville because
Haddonfield.
I was like, the whole time I was like, Jesus Christ, what
infinite
time is it?
Infinite Halloween.
Is, yeah, right.
The
right.
longest the, night this... he came home ever.
Yeah, it's like we just watched an entire, like that whole
night,
the last 40 yeah. minutes takes place on this night. And then this whole, I'm just like, and kids are still trick or treating? Like, it's,
I mean,
like,
I guess
you're telling me that what happened in the last movie happened at like 7:45 at night.
The sun right. just went down when it started. Yeah.
So we're looking. So I mean, in that theory, right? You're looking at it's like, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sun hasn't even cracked the horizon.
And
kids
are
still running around. Sure,
yet.
Sure.
Well, it's the way that I looked at it is they hobbited it. They have three movies that I'm guessing are going to take place during Halloween. I mean, two have, and I'm guessing they're not going to wait a week before they go after the guy, right? So, like, basically, this one night is going to be three movies.
I don't think they can. You
at this
can't
point,
do that
because the
I
sun
mean,
was starting
the
to
time,
come up at the end.
The
here,
time like, gap is at that point is a little ridiculous. Like as ridiculous as it is yeah. in these two, like if we go to a third movie and they're like, by the way, it's still night.
Well, yeah. I just don't think she's going to be waiting that long, and Michael Myers isn't going to go take a week vacation. Like, I mean, they're going to lead into it pretty quickly.
I think they're just going to be like, it's been a year.
Oh, you really think
yeah,
he's going to go
think,
in yeah. and
think,
then come back the next Halloween?
I think they won't be able to find him.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I was just thinking they were going to like keep going.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
just
I just
keep
assume
that
it's
going to
be.
Moving. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one's just going to be going to be about pumpkin masks.
Sign me up.
I thought that was the rumor, was that the third one, there was going to be a time jump because allegedly it's going to be a completely different type of movie that doesn't really pay homage to the original first couple films at all. They're going to totally blaze their own trail, and so there's going to be a time jump, and maybe it's been a year or two or more. So that was the scuttlebutt at the time, and they've kind of alluded to it. And I would say the only way that this movie makes sense in a sequel that could kind of redeem the elements that don't work in this movie is if in the third one, it turns out the entire town is either under a curse or possessed by a screenwriter, because that would no. But I'm partially joking. That would explain why every single character has the exact same trailer dialogue. Every character is like, "Evil must die tonight, and I will be the one that kills it." If that is not revealed to be like some kind of ancient curse, it's bizarre. Yeah. It's bizarre.
Oh.
It's
so here's
bizarre.
They say it like 27 times. In the
I got to tell you, that is it's an interesting thing you say that. There was at one point in one of the sequels, the unmade sequels, the idea was that Haddonfield was going to, like, in Halloween 6, it's the reveal that, like, all of these different people of the town are part of this cult, right? The idea at one point was, like, the town, it was going to be, what was the... didn't we just watch something where like the entire town is in on it? I don't.
WandaVision?
Kind of, but I also think it was kind of like
Hereditary kind of did that.
Hereditary, yeah, kind of like that, where like the entire town.
Rosemary's Baby, there's a lot of them.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. You're right.
Where
it's like
all the neighbors come over and everybody's kind
of
a part of it.
The Wicker Man
is
kind of like
it.
That too, right?
So, yeah. But yeah, so what drew me into this one immediately is...
It's called Halloween.
Also correct, yes. That was a given.
And it was done.
Yeah. But is the first 15 minutes. I think the first 15 minutes of this movie are spectacular. Because
I
loved
so
it.
Bad.
Hated
it.
I loved it.
Hey, how about we spend 15 minutes answering questions I didn't have? That sounds delightful.
I don't know. Like, I think...
And then when they show you actual footage of yeah. the old movie, it doesn't look the same as the flashback footage.
The mask is a little weirder.
Run that through a filter, man. Make that old footage look like your actual old footage.
Now, I'm going to have to go babyface here with you. I'm going to join in.
Yeah.
I thought that the 78 recreation footage is maybe the best use of that in any movie that I've ever seen. I've sort of continuing on. I thought Donald Pleasance looked a little fatter than he did back in those movies. I thought that was pretty well done. I thought it did have the sheen, the haircut, the wardrobe. I thought it fit kind of seamlessly into it. I don't know that it did anything in particular other than to expand Hawkins, which I think is going to pay off in the next movie, probably, or he'll die, whatever. But
I thought the young Hawkins looked a lot like Hawkins. They did a good job with casting.
I thought that was kind of the strength. And so I was with the movie in that first 15 minutes.
I kind of want that movie. I kind of want
Halloween from a different perspective.
Yes. I want it from the cop's perspective.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
You know, because...
Of course you do.
Of course, yeah, that's fair. Right. But I do think, that... The thing that took me out of that is that they got the guy that they got to play Loomis looked pretty spot on. His voice,
they
on
must
the
have
other
done
hand,
some CG
they had to.
Because
they
it
had
looked
to. There's no other way.
It's a little bit uncanny, but very close.
Yeah.
So it has to be a face.
Yeah, there's a deep fake there. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Because he looks just like him, but a little off.
Right. The only complaint I have is his voice.
Right.
Donald Pleasance has such a very distinctive voice, and this guy doesn't even get close. It's not.
I thought it was a pretty good. It's an impression, right? Because anytime you do Loomis from these movies, it's I shot him six times. That's all this guy did. He didn't have any dialogue as Loomis where he wasn't screaming,
right?
And no one else in this movie has any dialogue that isn't just repurposed Loomis dialogue from the unmade sequels you talked about. Every character in this movie is a paranoid wackadoo, and I think the biggest problem I have with the movie is. Tom, I'll kick this to you. Okay, the Twilight Zone was really good at this concept of they would orient
the town
you.
Goes crazy, yeah.
And then they would disorient you and then reorient you at the end, right? Mm-hmm. This movie doesn't have that. We need to see the town logically descend into chaos so that
they
all
just flip
become,
a switch and it happens.
Yeah,
oh, God, that,
so,
yeah.
So that they become Loomis-like. They become paranoid, obsessive. Loomis is an Ahab who spent 20 years with this child and then came to realization he was evil. Lori in the 2018 movie has spent 40 years paranoid he was going to come and get her because she saw the face of evil or whatever. This
I think
town
makes sense. Would have made sense
decipher,
for Tommy, right?
The town can't decipher who Michael Myers is, even though his mugshot is on television.
Right.
And the other guy, so it's like the guy has, there's no logical reason for these people to go January 6th all of a sudden.
And it's also frustrating because there's so many cool concepts in this movie.
Yeah. Bingo.
It's like they come up with a cool concept and then they're like, how could we use this in the worst possible way? And so it's like you have this, this town going crazy for no reason. You have here's an idea. What if we made one of our main characters who you're supposed to kind of regret the fact that as a police officer, he didn't take the opportunity to shoot an unarmed, subdued man in the back of the head. I'll just feel bad about that for 40 years.
Well, I think,
are you kidding me? That's your premise?
I don't think he feels bad about it for
40 years. He said, I feel bad about that.
Well, I think he feels bad about it because what happens 40 years later.
Yeah, but I mean...
But they don't say... You're right.
That seems like a weird thing to build a movie around in this time frame. A cop regretting shooting an unarmed, subdued man in the back.
Not doing it, right?
Right. Regret not doing it.
This movie has great ideas.
Yes.
There's a good movie on a premise level somewhere in here.
Yes.
I just think the script and the editing and the screenwriting is terrible.
That's what I'm saying. So this movie, in the beginning part, I don't mind the concept. I don't mind taking a peek back at what happened, why Michael's still alive at the end since they switched it, and there's no Halloween 2 after the original film.
Right.
And you see how they apprehended him, what happened and all that. I like that concept. but it's the dialogue. Jason nails it. When you hear these cops talking and like David Gordon Green takes these deliveries and is like, yep, we got it. I mean, it's just,
I wonder, it feels like placeholder dialogue.
I wonder if this, so the original plan for this, right, is there wasn't a sequel planned initially,
yeah,
right? Like the idea was, right, yeah. The idea was like David Gordon Green and Dan McBride came to Jason Blum with this idea for a Halloween movie. And then it made $159 million.
Yeah.
And they're like, you got anything else?
Suddenly it's a trilogy. Like, yep.
Yeah, he's like, I might have an idea. So this, I agree with you, is this does feel rushed.
And
script feels rushed.
I'm okay with the fact that they got to jump through some logical hoops to
make a sequel.
To justify like why Jason is still, or why Michael is still
Son
alive.
Of a bitch.
Sorry. Why Freddy is still alive.
Not a single dream in this one for some reason. It's strange. Yeah.
But like, I get that. And that's part of how these movies work. So like, it's just one of the tropes. And it's like,
right,
if that upsets you, then you're just never going to like any of these movies with a Roman numeral in the title. Move on. But it's just everything else. It's like, it's just like, you know, and then you take you bring Jamie Lee Curtis back, and yeah, then you put her in ICU for 90%
of the
movie.
That is exactly what they do in Halloween 2.
Well, it's dumb then too.
I agree with you. It's the weirdest thing to bring over.
Yeah.
from that second movie is in the second movie. It's Jamie Lee Curtis is in a bed for 85% of that movie.
And yeah, Halloween 2 is not good.
Like, oh, see, I disagree. I think it's a fun.
But I watched Halloween 1, which was amazing.
Always
and then
will,
I rolled
yeah
into Halloween 2, and I'm like, what the hell?
So
I had never seen
so this
these
is,
movies.
So this is what happens, right?
Yeah.
Is Halloween comes out in 1978. They realize it's a massive, it's a smash. So that's the slasher genre
it's a
starts.
Slash.
Ooh. So Friday the 13th comes out in 1980.
Yep.
Yeah. And then that's a smash. So now,
to like make your movie more like this other
that's
one.
That's exactly it. So they turn Halloween 2 into a Friday the 13th
yeah
movie where they're just throwing characters at you just to murder them.
But that's what
which
this is.
This
which
one
is
too.
That's what this yeah is, Joe. This is honestly, this is a pretty good Friday the 13th reboot.
I don't disagree.
Michael Myers
I really,
is Jason
I really don't.
Voorhees in this because the anger, the viciousness that he has in the kills, we've never seen him really. I mean, I guess maybe in the later sequels, but that was the first Halloween's a stalker movie and
yep
then he kills people.
Yep.
And he seems to take no pleasure. We talked about this on the Patreon episode. He seems to take no pleasure in it. He doesn't even seem to fully understand what he's doing. This one, he's stabbing people multiple times. He's torturing people. He's doing Jason
that guy
Voorhees
in the back
stuff
a bunch of times.
Yeah, he's doing Jason Voorhees stuff of just absolutely like, I expected him to get somebody in a sleeping bag and turn them into hamburger against a tree. If you're going into this movie for that, the kills of Halloween Kills,
yeah,
then the movie delivers. If you want a slightly elevated story with characters, or the one thing this movie is really missing is there's no protagonist.
There is none. I totally agree with you.
Who is the protagonist? And the thing that makes the 2018 soft reboot so successful by comparison is even though it's an ensemble film, Laurie Strode, as messed up as she is a protagonist. She's got a point of view. We know
right
what the stakes are. We know what her motivation is. Jamie Lee Curtis is acting her butt off. She's really
she's
good in
so
the movie.
Good.
She's so good in
that
movie.
And
that
last one was so smart. Just the
yeah
idea
yeah
of like, you know, you always see these movies like this where you're like, now that everything's over, we're all happy again. And it's like, but you wouldn't be happy again.
No.
Yep.
You went through severe trauma, and that's going to affect you. And like that, the
and
way
how does
it handle
it affect
that,
your children?
Yeah.
And you see all that.
It was so smart. And then this movie does everything it can to piss all over that.
It undid every. I'll tell you what. So last night, I started watching Halloween 2018 at 11 p.m. And I'm like, I just want to remember the tone of it.
It's a quick
1:45.
Watch, right? Yeah. Okay.
So I started watching at 11. I'm like, I just kind of want to get the tone and mm-hmm remember how it was and everything. I finished it at 1 a.m. It is so freaking
yeah
good. Like,
yeah.
It's smart,
I knew
it
was
very
good
smart,
and I remembered it was good. And I watched it again. I'm like, holy crap, I couldn't stop at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It is such a good movie for all those reasons we just stated. And then to roll into this one is such a jarring tonal shift.
You are I will agree with you there.
It feels like a different creative team.
It is. There's a third different screenwriter.
Okay, so, but it's still David Gordon Green and Danny McBride.
But they took I'm right there with you, Kevin. I saw this and I was like, this feels like almost three different people wrote this movie, and then they just kind of put the scripts together because we're switching focus and we're cutting back and forth. And the
you take the Tommy Doyle stuff.
Yeah,
you take
the message is muddled. Like, should we not let fear control us, or should we murder fear? What are we doing here? Even the ending, like Laurie's monologue at the end, is like, what is she trying to say?
Oh, it's so overwrought.
Mobs are bad until the mob kills the right monster, and then mobs are okay.
Well, so here's what happened, right? Yeah. They had the idea, like Joe said, but they also had a friend who was their like long-term friend who was a writer. A lot of it was his idea, his pitch, and he's not on this movie. Because they wanted three other writers who was kind of their pitch for Halloween on each of these movies. Three, you know, creative types that they're friends with. So they didn't bring back the original guy who had most of the ideas for the 2018 movie. They had a new guy to write it.
Oh, I see.
And there's going to be a different movie. There's going to be a different guy for the third film, and it's going to be kind of his pitch. And then they help shape up the script. And the way that they wrote this script was they would take turns in a very short period of time, because they were also doing Righteous Gemstones at the time.
Is really good if you haven't seen it.
One of them would take kind of the base idea that the third screenwriter had, like what he wrote up. Danny McBride would write until like 4 a.m., go to bed, and then David Gordon Green would come in and just pick up and continue writing from there.
Well, and that doesn't work. That's actually how it feels like that's what happened.
That's actually how Stephen King and Peter Straub wrote The Talisman. Like they would.
Oh, really?
Like one would write a chapter and then be like, "Figure that out," and then the next
guy
would write the chapter.
Okay, but I'm saying in this case,
but it does not work here.
Because the thing is, this movie is it feels so tonally different from a movie that just was released a few years ago and leads into it.
And not only that, but like chronologically, it's supposed to be taking place seconds.
That's
after
what I'm
the
saying.
First
it leads right,
yeah.
directly
it leads
into
right,
it.
Right back
and
into
so if
it.
You watch them back to back, and again, it's not even it's a 3-year-old movie, so you know it's pretty recent, and you lead into it and you're like, whoa, this feels different. And then the focus, you think you're going to focus on Laurie and it should be her story. And then they throw so many new characters.
I even think so many new characters.
And it's not her fault, but the granddaughter of Lori, like between the two movies, she looks like 35 now, and
yeah,
she's still supposed to be in high school.
She was a great character in the first one, and they eliminate her from this movie.
She has no character in this movie.
The trilogy of Lori and her daughter and her daughter's daughter, they don't mean anything to this movie.
No.
Which is like ridiculous because the movie emphasized that, and then they put it on this poster. They go something the three Strode women
doesn't
okay,
mean
but you, you didn't show us the three.
I honestly thought what we were gonna do is we were gonna get Laurie in the first movie, Judy Greer in the second movie, and then Allison.
See, that would have been a cool
the
for
third.
The generation.
That's where I thought we were
gonna
go. That's where I thought we were going with this because they did sort of focus on Judy Greer. More
for they gave her moments, but it wasn't like her movie, which would have been really cool to do one of the women and show and
one gets a different.
Also, Kevin, to your point, they never pick up on the fact that this whole time, Karen Judy Greer has thought her mom was crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
She was in psychotherapy
and all this sort of stuff. Does she have a line in this where she says like she brought him to us?
Yeah, she put us in his path is what she says.
Right.
Which makes no sense. But
I think it makes sense from Judy Greer's point of view, right? Like she has been raised in this survivalist house with this crazy mother.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she knows that Laurie went to go watch Michael get transported in the first movie. So it wouldn't make sense. But we know that isn't the case. We know that Dr. Numis, is the one that set him on this path, right? But he set this up.
Well, we don't spend any time, but I guess my point was, Joe, we don't spend any time with her reconciling, like, I've been convinced by therapists and child protective services since I was 10 years old, or however old she was when she was taken from Laurie, that my mother was insane. And she's not. Like a movie that does that better is Terminator 2, where John's like, oh, crap, that means my mom hasn't been crazy. She's the only one that's been right. And there's no wrestling with that because they're not in the movie. We switch the focus to, okay, we want to broaden it to Tommy Doyle and the survivors. Why are those people even friends? did Marion Chambers live in Haddonfield? So I didn't think so.
That's the problem. Is there's so much to dig into.
Yep.
Judy Greer's character should be wrestling with that,
yes,
because Lori was only redeemed at the end of the last movie.
Correct.
And she's like, oh my God.
She's only known it for like 40 minutes.
She's right. been preparing me yeah. for this, and she was right, and they see that. And then the second movie starts, and they pull the focus to someone else when this should have been her reconciling.
But she's automatically blaming her mom again, right?
Yeah,
like, you're totally right.
Yeah,
there.
It's
messy.
You
should see her wrestle with that, though.
Yes,
of like,
because there's no characterization in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is all about bringing in fodder, fan service, kill them off, fan service, kill them off. And it's like, but you just built up this great three-generational storyline, and the acting is superb. The writing is superb. And you go to this, and you're in.
The odd thing is people loved about the last movie, and I feel like the only complaint they really got about the last movie was the kills weren't gory enough. And so, like, that's the one thing they responded to.
Yeah.
And then they
you covered.
And then they stopped worrying about all the stuff that they got right.
Yeah. But you know having just watched it, there are some pretty good gory things.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's a little bit off camera, but there are some good. When
he head stomps
Numis.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there are some grotesque kills.
The pumpkin head.
Yeah.
You know, like
they turn
the cop's
guy's head. I mean, there is nothing. Even though they do a lot of killing in this movie, there's nothing that I thought was really cool except for the eye gouging. That was the one cool kill in this movie. But the other movie, being less violent, had better kills and more creative. He turns the cop's head into a jack-o'-lantern in that
movie. That's Trickster Michael, right? Like, he kind of became known for that as the series goes on.
Yeah.
Is he just like, he just likes pulling, he's a tricky guy.
Right,
he's a real hoot.
He's a real hoot.
People love cool kills in these movies.
Trick or treats.
But the last one incorporated that without changing the tone. It still took itself seriously, but you're like, oh my God, that's insane. But it looks real and, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they really messed up with this one, just going for all those kills and losing all the stuff that made the 2018 so good. Yeah, you got violence, but you lost what made people go like, this is a really good movie. Like, they were
the
taking
characters,
it seriously.
The subversion of horror tropes that was in the first one. Every time in 2018, you would think you're going to get, oh, well, typical horror movie BS. They do something smarter for the most part. This movie is horror movie sequelitis, where it goes into all of the horror movie cliches, doesn't subvert any of them, and it just does all the dumb stuff from the 80s. This is a perfect recreation of a dumb 80s slasher sequel.
Right.
If you're down for that, you're going to love this movie.
Yes,
if you want 2018 again or an extension of that, you're not going to get it.
I think the people who like this movie, they like those movies, and they're like, oh, that was fun because I kind of liked the crappy 80s horror movies, and I
also
don't.
Me. That's the
that's
like right
fine.
In my wheelhouse.
And like that, and like I might have even been able to get behind that had they not just made a movie that wasn't that,
sure,
and was really good. If this had been, at least tonally, I know plot wise it wouldn't make any sense, but if this had been the last movie and it was like, oh, this is what we're doing, that could be fun. But it's like, but you just gave us the exact opposite.
Yeah. You did a Carpenter movie for part one and you did a Rosenthal movie with part two.
Yeah, like if I like switching genres, if I really liked Force Awakens and the next movie you give me is Spaceballs, like we got a problem.
That's totally fair.
Real quick though, I will say to your point, not all of the people that love Halloween movies and horror movies.
This is
like
a very
like
divisive movie.
Hardcore Halloween fans are not liking this movie too, which really is telling, because if it was like Halloween 2018 is a horror movie that non-horror people can get behind because it's so good.
Sure.
Horror people loved it and non-horror people loved it.
Yeah.
This is a movie that would seem like only horror people would love it, and they got rid of the stuff that would bring in new, you know, fans of it.
Right.
But like our friends over at Brain Stew, which is an Epic Film Guys podcast, they love Halloween, and Justin,
the
his
Green
favorite
Day podcast.
What's that?
The Green Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Justin's favorite franchise whatever of all time is Halloween. He loves it, and he was excited to see this. And go listen to their review of it, because like they're two people that love Halloween and love horror movies, and they both had a lot of problems with it. So that I think is very telling of the quality of this film. And not saying that all horror people won't like it, but to have the hardcore ones not just go, yeah, but it was kills like I wanted. They're like, no,
I do think that horror in the last, I don't know, 20 years, horror has been elevated, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not in the video nasties anymore. Like it's, that was the thing that we did in the 80s. That was just how you did a horror movie. There wasn't any nuance to things. And James Wan and post James Wan, all that stuff, and The Conjuring and all of those movies have elevated horror to where you kind of do expect a little bit more. And I think that's where the 2018 version succeeds, mm-hmm. is because it does bring it back to the Carpenter version. Now, and I agree. It's
a perfect marriage of the two because it does the Carpenter version, but it does it in a smart, modern way,
right?
With the idea of the psychological impact that this would have on people.
Correct.
And so, that last one, I think this just ultimately comes down to disappointment, right?
Yeah.
That last one was so goddamn good,
yeah,
and was maybe the smartest slasher movie ever made. And
well, I don't know about that. I mean, the original one, I think
it's one of the
original
best.
One's really good, but is it smart? Is it smart in the same way? That's why I say
I'm
smartest.
Okay.
And then you get this, which is just so dumb.
Yeah.
But it's not even, and I agree that's definitely a huge part of it, but like early reviews of this movie were terrible. And then later on, reviews coming in, trickling in, disappointment, really bad, horrible, scathing reviews. My expectations were below ground level for this movie. And they even, they were delaying screeners. They were going to send screeners, and they canceled it till after the movie was out in theaters. And
that's
they said
weird.
You can have a screener. Yeah. So they were doing things that were huge red flags of, they do not have confidence in this movie. So with that being said, I'm like, it's going to have to be really bad at this point for me to watch it and not go they were a little harsh, because I'm already this is really getting talked about as being horrible. And I watched it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's... That,
I guess
they
I,
were right.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't feel that at all. And usually, I mean, I can sit through Halloween 6 and be like, Jesus Christ, this is terrible. And yeah. I never felt that way. I never felt that way sitting through this one.
Well, let's talk about the plot, and that's fine. Yeah. And that's fine. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I think briefly, I wish they would have done is if they were taking out the Strode women, which is fine. Like, if that's what you want to do, and you've only got Jamie Lee Curtis for X amount of days, I get that.
Not when you freaking bill your movie as the Three Strode Women.
Well,
the marketing deserved
I'm agreeing
the film.
With you.
They bait and switched at us more with this than they did with Janet Leigh in Psycho.
Yeah, the marketing was all about, literally, it's Jamie Lee Curtis going, tonight I'm going to kill you. I'm going to end
Lee
you, Michael.
Curtis
and
is is everything.
Scenes that aren't even in the movie were in the trailer.
Yes, there's stills of her raising her hand
so
or
there
something.
Is
it's not in the movie.
There is a director's cut. That has already been announced for Blu-ray with a completely different ending.
Yeah.
So that's the thing you have to take that into consideration, right? Like, we've never known Jason Blum or Universal to pull a Weinstein on a movie. I don't know about his personal life.
What do you mean,
life.
Like raping people?
I wasn't going to say that, but I mean where he would completely re-edit the movie and you get something completely different when it comes out, right?
Yeah.
Both of them were kind of notorious for that. So...
But why would Jason Blum do that when these guys just gave him a huge hit?
I am agreeing with you. Is that maybe I don't know.
There's a different. There's a different version of the script that leaked about 6 months ago that I read, and it has a different ending. And even in that script, she never leaves the hospital.
This is what I wish they would have done.
It's just a different ending where her and this is what I would be in the director's cut. Her and Michael talk on the phone at the end, and I'm not joking. He doesn't speak.
Yikes.
He just breathes. Okay. He calls her from she calls Karen, and Michael picks up the phone.
That's how she realizes he's dead.
And the last shot is her, and then this is in the trailer, walking down the hallway with the knife, which they set up and don't pay off. So that it ends with that same zoom in on the butcher knife that was at the end of 2018 in Allison's hand. Now it's in Lori's hand, and we're leading up to the final confrontation. My guess is that's the director's cut. That's all you're going to get because there's some more. The deaths are a little bit more brutal. Tommy Doyle is the biggest difference. He's like a completely different character and actually would have been a decent protagonist. The way it's set up here is he gets up on a stage, announces who he is, tells you who he is in a movie that we already know because we're here for the sequel. They give us a flashback. Then he points a literal spotlight at every other new returning character. And then they cut to a flashback as he monologues telling you who they are in the story.
It's
that is some of the worst writing Ever.
Yes. Well, it's, and also the environment was karaoke night, and suddenly it's Tommy Doyle at the mall.
I thought it was a talent
show. With a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah. Right. Like, I'm like, what are we doing? And it's like, I'm like, this is so bad. I'm retroactively rooting for a 6-year-old to die in the first movie.
Yeah, like, right.
I think that they had the movie without all that, and they screened it or whatever, and they're like, but people that watched the first movie loved it and weren't necessarily hardcore Halloween fans. We got to get a way to introduce all this fan
service.
Yeah, because
I would have known who they were.
Right. So, like, but in doing that, they made it so stupid.
Like, I had to Google when the movie was over, like, is Lonnie an actual character from the first movie? And I was like, oh, okay, he is.
They had but they had a flashback to a scene, not from the original, to a scene they shot for this movie 5 minutes after they showed it. So how stupid do they think their audience is? Yeah. You're flashing back to your own flashback you just showed us.
And that's why I got confused, because the Lonnie character is pretty minor.
He is very minor.
And so it's like that's why I had to Google to find out if he had really been in Halloween 1, because I was like, are they just retconning this character?
No,
into
he's
it?
Yeah,
like, but he's the dad of the boyfriend.
Yes.
Did we know that last
time?
Yes. Oh, I didn't realize.
The scene where
didn't the boyfriend try to rape her last time?
No, but he was
he was cheating on her.
Making out with the girl, and then there was like a very tense like discussion, like argument between the two, and he takes her phone and pitches it into the
Jell-O.
Like, yeah, as everything's going to hell.
And like now they're just like, I guess we'll team up. Everything,
I mean,
well, after
cool.
your dad's dead, I guess being cheated on by your high school boyfriend doesn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, she's kind of been through some shit.
I feel bad for the
this is what I wish that would have happened.
Remember the friend zone guy? He really got it rough, and like he read some wrong symbols, but like she told him to go F off.
And then he got a thing through the face. What I wish they would have done is, if you're gonna get rid of the Strodes, fine, bring them back in part 3. I wish we would have focused on Tommy and Lindsay.
No, 3's got to be Season of the Witch remake. Let's
yes, let's do
watch
it.
Watch Season
yes,
Halloween 3 is going to just have nothing to do with this story.
I wish it would have been Tommy and Lindsay, and let Tommy be the new Loomis, right? So he also
as
would
actual
also
characters,
be,
yep.
as an actual he would also be Lindsay would be, there is a script for part 4 where Tommy and Lindsay are your
yes, they're give us protagonists.
They're a couple, and they are the protagonists.
They can grow.
Right?
Yeah. It's a character development. Give us
so
exactly.
I think having a Tommy Doyle who was obsessed with the same situation, because he's the like a Matt Laurie's 18. Loomis is, we'll say he's in his 50s. Tommy Doyle was 6 years old when he was attacked by Michael Myers. Right, he would be screwed up.
Okay.
You're welcome. Yeah, I caught myself. Yeah. Right, he would be messed up.
Yeah,
and so with Lindsay, so like having them run around the like when all hell starts breaking loose, having them be your two protagonists and then move forward from there.
They also write the dumbest people, and I know that in horror movies characters are fodder for the killer, but they really leaned into that stupid
Michael, you've come home, now let me stand here while you're 40 feet away from
Michael
me.
Myers
just
is over
me.
There let's go walk up to him and investigate, like hell no. I, you know what I mean, they really
Big John and Little John, man, that is some of the worst stuff I've seen.
That was
Joe,
so
come
it is
on,
funny
buddy.
that Mike that the character that plays Little John has been killed by two Mike Myers.
Oh, who was he?
He's the guy in Austin Powers that's like, no!
That's right.
No! That's funny. He gets run over by the steamroller.
That's good. How'd you figure that out?
I saw a meme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was good. All right, so plot
okay,
of this
so the
thing.
Plot is super, like, okay, we're picking up the same night. Michael has gotten away, but he's kind of trolling throughout the town, and then all those firefighters
he just walks out and just none of those firefighters can do anything.
I will say I do like how they said that he hit himself, right? Like I was like, that's kind of smart, right? Where he backs up into the like the cabinet that Lori, like the rolling cabinet that Lori had, and protects himself from the fire inside that cabinet.
Oh, the way
I was
they
like,
retconned
okay.
him not dying.
Yeah, right. I was like, okay,
that's fine.
But yeah, he does destroy an entire battalion.
Like someone online said, well, they're firefighters, not man fighters. That was a good one. Yeah.
And now
they hit him with a fire hose, and it was like,
I thought that was a little ridiculous.
That would blow someone away.
I was like, I think that fire hose needs to have its prostate checked.
Yeah.
The stream would be way stronger.
That's not
than
how
that.
Fire hoses
no,
work.
No, he would have been knocked on his ass.
Yeah.
So it was stupid.
Need one of them fire hoses from Alabama.
Haddonfield ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
So now all of the town is now, like we said, at the talent show or whatever, all of their phones are going off. and they're
it's
all
at a bar.
Told,
it's a Halloween party at a bar.
Yeah, and I think it's like a talent show because somebody is singing. Somebody
yeah,
is doing.
They're
a,
doing some kind of Halloween special.
And Tommy gets up there and gives a speech. And now all their phones are going off, and they say that.
But it's bad. Every monologue in this movie is bad.
Yeah.
In the last movie, the dialogue, and Laurie's especially, is so good. And this movie is so overwrought in trying to be important. They give you these big, dramatic, yeah. long sequences, and it is so horrible. It's the writing. The writing. It's not
yeah,
the concept. The writing.
I don't I will not.
Do you think that they were making a comedy?
No.
Like, do you think they thought they were being funny? Was this supposed to be the Gremlins 2 of Halloween?
This is what I think. I think that they were really smart with how they use levity and comedy in the first movie, right? You've got the Julian kid that I thought was amazing.
Are the doctor and nurse couple his parents?
No.
Because in the first movie, you see them leave.
No, well, they're on the same street.
Did you know they're in the first movie?
Yeah, they're his neighbors.
Michael walks past them.
When I rewatched it, I'm like,
because
says, these are characters. The doctor and nurse are in the first movie, leaving their house.
He walks past, like, when we first see Michael for the first time in Haddonfield, they're scrambling to get into their car.
That guy goes, oh, I forgot my stethoscope, and goes back in his house, just like he goes back to the bar to get his stethoscope. Same thing.
It's the same thing.
I like the continuity there, but I was like, I had
no
idea.
Those are not Julian's parents.
But they show them, and then they go to Julian very shortly after, and I'm like,
and
but
again,
he's not supposed to.
And again, we waste so much time establishing kind of those two characters, even though they're going to be killed very shortly, when we could have used that same time of orienting us to Tommy Doyle and Lindsay and Marion. You could have, hey, we're the survivors. We get together every Halloween. We talk through our trauma. We're all dealing with it differently. We've all dealt with this differently. Blah, 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 blah. This is where we are now. Yeah. And then we go into the movie.
It would make sense also that the nurse would live in Haddonfield because Smith's Grove is not far away from Haddonfield.
I could be wrong. I just didn't think she actually lived in Haddonfield. I thought that was somewhere else because he went home to Haddonfield and Loomis had to follow him there. I thought they were like, you know, miles away from there. At least
the geography of this movie. They teleport around Haddonfield.
Yeah,
there is
bizarre.
No, like, everything is like, oh, here's the bar and around the corner is the mental hospital or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like everything is so...
Now the town is on high alert, and Tommy Doyle kind of goes full MAGA at this point and rallies everybody in this town. And
stop the steal.
Kill. There's a part of me that as I'm watching this, I'm like, no, we just watched this happen. Like, we just watched this happen.
But when you think this movie was going to come out last year.
That's the weird part.
That's the weird.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is the thing. Yeah. Is like, what were so? Were they trying to do a satire? Was this supposed to be? It's really odd to try to figure out what they were going for.
I said this on the little reaction I did. The African American, like the sheriff Barker, on the steps trying to hold back the crowd, was weirdly prophetic of the January 6th, where there was the one African American Capitol Police officer trying to hold back the crowd on the stairs. I was like, I don't like
this
weird.
This movie was supposed to come out 2 months before that.
Yeah.
That would have happened.
Although,
so.
I will also say, you know, mobs kind of do what mobs do. Like, there's not a lot of variance once the mob takes over.
And that's kind of what we get here.
But
so
it is interesting
interesting.
It played out.
Yeah.
So basically, Tommy Doyle rallies this entire town to kill Michael Myers. Which is just,
here's the other problem I have with that is since they wrote off all the other sequels, is Haddonfield really that worked up about Michael Myers?
You know who,
it's a bad thing that happened 40 years ago. It's really entered just the realm of urban legend for most people. I mean, Tommy Doyle is probably the youngest you can be and still remember it. He only remembers because it happened to him, and he's 53 at this point.
But so I think, go ahead, Joe. You know who
it affects? It affects Lindsay Wallace. It affects Tommy Doyle. It affects Sheriff Brackett, who was the original actor from the first movie.
That's badass.
He comes back.
That's cool they got him back.
It affects Laurie. It affects Laurie's daughter. It affects Lori's granddaughter.
I just don't think the town would
you're
be
right,
up and
but
on.
You've got
I think
six
that's the
characters.
Idea that they had, though, of showing the hospital filling up with his victims and the victims' families and the news story breaking, which is like, this is eerily reminiscent of 40 years ago because a whole street is dead. He killed that whole street in the 2018 movie, and the news is just broke. And so I think it's the idea, it's not executed well because it's edited so bizarrely, but I think the idea they're going for is that fear, yes, it's been an urban legend, but it's kind of been there the whole time. They haven't dealt with it. They haven't processed it. So then when it starts to reoccur, the trauma triggers the town, and it comes back just like it did in Laurie or whoever. And so the whole town is caught up in the frenzy, which is a brilliant idea. It's just good, not executed well.
Poorly, pun intended. I think if they were going to do something like that, what they should have done is had one of Michael's earliest kills take out a bunch of people simultaneously.
Yeah.
And almost like a terrorist attack.
Which kind of you do. I mean, he kills all those firemen. Right, like I mean, that,
okay,
he
but
kills...
like I never hear anybody mention it.
You're right,
right? Like the
that
crowd
been,
never talks about.
Should have
like,
been the lead story.
It's on the news, nine first. No, it's on the news. The reporter's at Lori's burning house, and he talks about like 10 firefighters were killed, and
but I don't hear the crowd.
That,
I don't hear the mob who's upset talk about it. Right, like they're not like you took out 9 first responders. Like you don't like they never have a. Well, they have a reaction to Michael. They don't have a reaction to
what he's
the
done.
Event.
Yeah.
Well, the other weird part is the mob seems concentrated in the hospital, but we see Tommy recruiting people in the streets, and we never check in with any of those people. He's like, "We're going to go street by street, and we're going to start here. And we're going to do this." They don't ever coordinate with each other. We never see any of those people again. It's just two old guys and two teenagers who immediately split up, even though Tommy Doyle says their strength in numbers. So it's like a mob movie with no mob other than the one scene in the middle at the hospital. It's
and I will say that scene at the hospital is a mess. That is the worst.
Yeah, I agree.
A crowd trampling over each other. Like, it's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, also, it's just like the Karen goes into a room and closes the blinds, but then the camera pans around to the one thing where, like, the window's still open.
Yes.
It's like, well, why didn't you close that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and then I've never seen a morgue with open windows.
The morgue.
Yeah, they're just looking at dead
people. It's
like a baby viewing
room.
It's
like the nursery. Yes. Yeah. And
like, that's not a thing.
It's right next to the cafeteria and the soda machine.
And the
they leave without a covered
body.
Right. No, yeah. That mom walks by and sees her son's mangled face.
Yeah,
it's like,
but the,
oh,
that was,
that's
the
not
body
a, that's also
changes.
Not a thing.
The body changes based on whose character is looking through the window.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, one time it's Ray, the next time it's Oscar, and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah.
No, that was so ridiculous when the viewing window is open for the body,
right,
without being in a bag or covered.
No,
yeah,
it's not
just
even
like
a basement.
Front,
it's
got a
just off the lobby of the hospital.
No, yeah, the waiting room, people get their coffee and they go over to the viewing window.
Here's the morgue.
Oh my God.
So I'll try to breeze this. Basically, Michael is on the loose, and he is just taking people out left and right. Right, he kills the African American couple we talked about from the first movie. He kills the Big John, Little John, which I was like, I like the idea that they are it's this couple that has completely renovated and did a rehab job on the Myers house, but it still feels the same. Like the staircase is still the same, the hallway is still the same, but it's like this forest green. So I like the idea that they came in and kind of screwed around with his house.
And that's the thing they always do in these movies is they go back to the house and like the new people that live there.
Right.
So, you know, him coming home
makes sense. Yeah. And that's kind of the reason we're given is like he just wants to go home. Like that's all his brain can understand is just going home. So what happens is Michael is on the loose, as I've said, and after this not Michael Myers jumps out of a window and kills himself, this is where Tommy Doyle realizes, I may have screwed up. Like, this is pretty bad.
So they're trying to do a commentary on mob mentality and people trying to be like judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
You know,
right.
This movie is trying to hammer home this deep message of, but
until the mob kills Michael Myers. I mean,
until they all start beating him
down.
So they make that point, and then they're like,
yeah.
Oh, never mind.
This is the big moment. And okay, so here's the deal. So I'm like, oh, are they going to do it? Are they going to have all of his previous victims and terrorized? You know, they brought them all back, and then are they going to kill Michael Myers?
I thought maybe they were, because I didn't realize that there was another one already lined up, and so I was just like, I just thought like, oh, are they going to do this? And then obviously we'll get more, but will there be a reboot?
Exactly,
or
there'd be a different, like, then maybe his evil would live on or somehow get to someone else. But I'm like, this might turn this movie around.
Have you seen part five?
No.
Because that's what happens.
But I mean, but so I'm watching them, like, well, this movie might take a turn for the better. I'm like, if they actually do it and have all the people, like Sheriff Brackett, if they're all killing Michael Myers finally.
Right.
You know, and then we have to see.
It'd be a good way for him to die.
That would have been justice.
How many times in this movie, though, guys, does somebody almost have him killed and just stop? Judy Greer pitchforks him in the back, curb stomps him on the stairs, and just stops. If that's Michael Myers and you're a mob and you're in a frenzy, you're a lynch mob, lynch him. Cut his head off. Cut his hands off. Cut his legs off.
In that situation, those people would have torn him limb.
Oh, for sure.
Limb.
Yeah.
Well, see, and that's the thing in Halloween H2O, which is much better than this movie. Lori's about to freaking chop his head off.
No. No, she doesn't.
She does chop his head off.
No. But she's about to, and then is it LL Cool J comes in?
No. But so what happens? Oh,
no. But earlier,
you mean in the school?
Yeah. And then he comes in, and so it was one of those kind of
things.
He pulls her away. He's dead. They keep doing that in these movies, and I'm like, no.
Yeah,
no.
LL Cool J is the reason we got Halloween Resurrection. Yeah.
He's great in H2O though. Like H2O, which
do you know who wrote that?
Who?
Kevin Williamson.
Well, yeah, Scream. There you go. Well, Scream's even in the movie, which I thought was funny because it's a dimension. But if you've not seen H2O, I saw it when I was younger, and I went back and just watched it. It's solid.
Yeah, it's a really smart sequel.
The climactic battle between the two where she turns the tables on him and she's like rolling under the tables and all that, pretty badass. She's great in it.
That is a great sequel. Like, H2O is what this movie should have been, in my opinion, because they handled the same type of thing. Lori's growing up now, dealing with the demons of her past.
Well, 2018 is H2O.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if
this is Resurrection.
Yeah, but if we were going to get more of Lori and dealing with that stuff, then I would have rather seen a movie closer to H2O than this. Like,
this is Halloween 2 and Halloween 4, Joe. This is what this is.
No, that's exactly right.
This is Return of Michael Myers.
With the exception of Jamie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing we don't
have.
Which
I think is what I'm saying is I don't like, right? Because I don't like 2, and I don't think I've seen 4. But anyway,
I will say 4 is like a return to form.
Okay.
Sort of. Like, it's definitely got the 80s sheen to it, but it's a very good story.
I think 4 is the one where the mask on the cover of the new 4K looks like Nicolas Cage.
So what happens is they realize that Michael is going back to the house. So Lonnie, the boyfriend, and the granddaughter, I can't remember the granddaughter's name.
Allison,
go to the Myers house, and Lonnie is dispatched real quick. And then I got to tell you, I was rooting for this boyfriend to die from 2018, and he got it in probably like the most brutal fashion they've done. Which I thought was great. Like,
I'm glad they had the balls to do that, though. You know what I mean? Like, to actually kill off some of the main characters who you thought...
Not some of them.
They suffer.
A lot of those are fodder, though. But I just mean, like, the boyfriend, they could give her more of a happy ending. Or, you know, like, keep him... I'm like, oh, he's going to almost kill him, and then she'll save him or something.
Nope.
I'm like, no.
He throws his head through some stairwells, and then he snaps his neck.
Oh, he turns it.
I do like that. What I did like about that is very Jason Voorhees, where he stops and, like,
looks.
He's like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't finish the job.
Well,
and
she,
then
almost
walks over and
she almost instigates it, right? She's like,
she does
leave him alone and kill me.
Yeah,
he stops
looks
pursuing
her.
Looks at her, stops pursuing her, and is like, oh, you don't want me to do this? And then,
trickster Michael.
Yeah, that was good.
And then this is where Judy Greer shows up, because Allison is pretty badly hurt. She's messed. That was a pretty gnarly leg break for the physical part of that, where she falls down
some
steps.
She tricks him like she does in the first movie.
That's the
same
problem.
Thing.
That is the problem. Is
it's
she,
the same
it's
head fake.
It didn't
as
have the
amazing
payoff,
as that head fake is in 2018.
Well, it's great in the first.
It's
in 2018, it's perfect.
Yeah.
In this one, I'm just like, we're doing it again.
She shows up and is like, oh, my God, I can't do it. And then she's like, hi,
gotcha.
Led you right to the mind.
You know what I thought they were going to do? I thought they were going to do, she grabs the mask, right? She runs. She gets... Karen gets Michael to follow her to the mob, basically. It's a setup. Gotcha again. And I thought he was going to get away or stop at some point, get his mask back, and go back and kill Allison. And it would be his head fake. I thought for sure that the better twist would be he realizes it's a trap at a certain point, even if it meant he had to walk away from his mask. And she's like, no, 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 follow me, follow me. And he just goes back in and just shuts the door and just kills the granddaughter. And it ends on that note.
I could see that. That's good.
So the mob, including Sheriff Brackett,
Tommy Doyle,
they beat the crap out of him. And they've got him dead to rights. I mean, he is dead. And then Lori goes on some long monologue with Hawkins but he's evil. And it never, the more you hurt him, the stronger he gets and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, after all that mob destruction, he just gets up and is like, I'm cool.
I wish that they would have
also
kind of,
keep in mind he's pushing 7.
Yeah, right, right.
And missing fingers, and an eye.
Yeah, I liked the interactions between Lori and the Hawkins. Sheriff. I did like there are moments in that where I was like, oh, like that. There she is.
Yeah,
like, there's the scene where that when she's laying on her arm and talking about that night at the bar, and there are moments where I was like. That's the Laurie Strode
she's a
from
different,
78.
She's a different character.
She's a very
from 2018
different character.
In this. They are two different, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so the mob gets killed, and then they
take out Tommy Doyle. They take out Sheriff Brackett. They take out everybody, all of your main characters. And Judy Greer, Karen, has gone back to the Myers house. She's on the phone with Laurie. And then Michael appears behind her.
Yeah.
Very much reminiscent of 78.
He's just spoons.
No, but wait. The weirder part is the reason why she goes back in the house is she leaves the mob before he's dead.
She Dr. Evils it. I mean, she
teleports back to her daughter. She's consoling the daughter. Then she sees child Michael in the clown costume in the window. Goes back into the house, and then the child ghost Michael disappears. Then the mob gets killed. Then cut to Lori in the hospital. Then cut to Karen, and then what happens?
And then we lose. And then we lose Judy Greer, which I was. And a part of me is like, okay, so
that's fine.
The
stakes.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. So the only characters we have left are Lindsay Wallace is still alive. Allison and Lori.
Yep.
That's it.
And Michael.
Can we talk about Hawkins real quick? Yeah. This movie's not scary. Okay, just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, real quick, because we got to wrap it up. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is not scary. I don't know.
They have good. I think the opening sequence from 78 has a good jump scare where Michael, like, bulls, like a bull in a china cabinet, like, barrels into that cop. I think that's a good move. You know it's coming, but you're not, like, you know, they hold it just long enough that they kind of throw you off.
Yeah,
but I agree.
But overall, 2018 with that score, which I mean,
that's
this
the
is
other
all,
thing is this score is nowhere near as good.
No, it's not, Joe.
As the 2018,
and they ramp up the tension. And I constantly, when I was rewatching 2018, was like, I feel the tension. I feel worried for these characters. This movie didn't have any of that tension.
Yeah, no,
so
I agree.
So anyway, but he shows back up at the hospital, right?
No, he shows back up at the house. He kills Karen.
But after that,
and that's how it ends.
Lori's just talking at the hospital about monologue, diatribe,
right?
Evil.
But I did like, yeah, yes, you're right. And then that's how it ends.
And Evil didn't die tonight.
Evil did not die that night. Evil killed.
They talked that up.
You can demand your money back.
Yeah.
Evil honestly, before we wrap up, I honestly have. I could be totally wrong, and time will tell. I'll probably be wrong. Now that he's like fully supernatural, right? Because it's the only explanation. Yeah. That's what that monologue's supposed to tell us.
Right. It is.
Their fear and their anger and the town's rage has turned him into this demon, basically this unstoppable force. The only way that this makes any sense, Joe, and you can speak to this, is if there is a curse of some kind, not just on Michael, but on the town. And they may play it completely different, but it's the only explanation for why this hysteria has broken out. It's the only explanation
but to introduce
for
a concept like that so late
at
the
third final of the trilogy.
That's what horror sequels do. And here's what they're doing. They're repurposing, and they have since 2018, all of the mythology and then putting their own modern twist on it. This is really, now that we're two movies in, it's a soft reboot of almost the entire original timeline, really. They're picking and choosing elements of, you know, the mob from 4, the this from this. They're picking and choosing and then putting their own spin on it. And I think they're going to implement some kind of Samhain, Samhain, Halloween curse kind of a thing and go more conceptual with it, because that's what they're, even in interviews, that's what David Gordon Green's tipping his hand to, is he's like, oh yeah, well, we're going to go a completely different direction and it's going to be broader than it's ever been before. And I think they're going to go into some kind of conceptual fear and evil is a curse and it feeds on itself, and I think that's where it's going. Well, that's what her monologue is about. It's
the last thing I will say is that the original pitch for Halloween 4, the original Halloween 4, is that Michael was the manifestation of evil.
Okay.
Like, that's what he was.
Yeah.
And that's how that's why he keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, give
to Jason's
ground
point,
it like, or give us a supernatural, but pick one and then be consistent.
Yeah.
And I will say the biggest mistake that they made in this movie, Lori in the hospital's like, I'm fine. And she's gotten stabbed. She's all hurt. I'm fine. Give me the meds. Boom. I shove them in. I'm fine. Let's go. Let me sit in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
No, she goes right
back
to the hospital.
Load Lori up with steroids and painkillers. Give her a shotgun and let her freaking
go
crazy.
Give her the full NFL treatment.
Even if it's a twist and she gets there late, just in time to find her daughter dying or her
granddaughter dying,
or something.
You know what would have been great is she like, I'm going to give me all these painkillers, and then she just falls asleep.
Eats her yogurt and then goes, yeah.
When they had her stomach open, I turned to my wife and I was like, there's nothing but Activia.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the movie I want. If you're going to go crazy and do all the kills,
that's the next one.
At least load up Jamie Lee Curtis and say, let's go. Let's do this. Like, it's ridiculous she'd be able to, but that's the point. Like, you've made this movie that's ridiculous. Let her have her John Wick. Let her have her ash.
That's going to be Halloween Ends. They had to get, this is a bridge movie to get to the thing you actually wanted to see.
It's Hobbit. This is Hobbit 2. I mean, that's the problem. So
I loved it.
I think they're all
good. I'm going to watch it again. I'm not even kidding.
I've seen it twice, once in theaters, once on your guys' streaming service.
Peacock?
I think this movie is probably honestly best enjoyed as a Peacock pizza party with your pals, where you're not taking it too seriously.
Oh,
I care about
my friends more than
you're
that.
You're not expecting...
I don't.
You need to watch it like you watched slashers in the 80s.
Yeah.
And if you're going in thinking you're getting 2018 again or continued, you're not. You're getting schlock. And if you go in on a schlock level and get some pizza and have some beverages of your choice and laugh at it and talk over the parts that don't make any sense and just are there for the blood and the splatter and the body count, you'll probably enjoy it.
It's Friday the 13th, but you said it's just the wrong franchise. The movie could work as its own thing, but it is not a sequel to Halloween, and then which is a sequel to another great Halloween.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Jason, where can everybody find you and your wares?
At Binge Movies on Twitter, letterbox.com/Binge Movies, bingemovies.podbean.com. And you can follow all the stuff there. We did a ranking episode of all of the Halloween sequels last year that Joe was not a part of, and I still have heat with him over it. You can listen to that. And right as this comes out, I've got an episode with Kevin where we talk about the state of the movie industry. It'll be out over the same week, so follow us. And also coming out, we're going to have a new season, the last ranking episode season of the year, and we're going to kick it off with ranking the entire Nightmare on Elm Street franchise.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it's a good thing you didn't let Joe participate in that because you would still be recording it.
You don't think there's a 4-hour episode that he and I recorded?
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
No doubt.
It exists.
That'll be coming out too, Joe. There's going to be a bonus episode where we do all of John Carpenter's 90s movies, which is something. And it's unedited 4 hours. So I
holy cow. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Alex Hammond is the killer. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.